Welcome everyone to this week's episode of the Currently Nerdy Podcast. We are a comedic, social, and current events podcast where we're giving you a nerdy outlook on what's going on in the world today. Basically, letting you into the inner conclave of nerdom, and we're here to take over the world with our nerd imperium. So all hail the Currently Nerdy Empire.
All
hail. Hail, Ali.
Hail. Yeah. Shut up.
Okay. We give this podcast to you free every week on currentlynerdy.com and on iTunes. So please feel free to rate, review, subscribe, and share our page to all your friends, family members, loved ones, bystanders, anyone you come across in life, hit them with the fist of Currently Nerdy, because you truly don't love someone until you have spread the gospel of Currently Nerdy. Hallelujah. Holla back, little homie. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Anyways, we are the hosts of this illustrious, award-winning, scientifically proven to be the greatest podcast. My name is Diz, and I'm your pop culture and sports nerd, which basically means I could tell you which Kardashian is dating who and who Conor McGregor knocked out in 13 seconds on Saturday.
I heard about that, by the way. I was like, Diz must be really excited.
Yeah. Yes. I heard he was hard the whole time.
I was for all 13 seconds of that fight.
Is there a more barbaric sport?
You're a more barbaric sport. And now off to the more barbaric sport. Ali, take it away.
I am Ali A. Alomi, the classic nerd of the group, which means that I was into nerdy things before nerdy was cool, which didn't say much for my social life growing up in high school. No, I'm just kidding. I had a fantastic childhood. as I keep telling myself in an attempt to convince
myself. I was part of that childhood.
That's what I'm saying. It was miserable. Yeah. I am into things like reading and school and writing and history, and I try to bring you the information and background behind the topics we discuss. V.
Good evening, friends. This is V Tran, your comic book movie travel nerd. I also cover the things that Ali and Diz do not.
Okay.
You want to get the Conor McGregor thing off your chest?
Yeah, I do. Okay. So look.
Go ahead.
All right.
I figured you would.
Now.
No one cares.
Ali's making a pillow with his blanket right now.
It was
getting ready to take a nap.
It was a majestic 30 seconds. It was.
I mean, that's a fluke.
It wasn't a fluke.
That's 30 seconds is a fluke.
13.
It was 13 seconds.
Fastest it's finish in UFC title fight history. Okay, first off,
No matter how good he is, that's a fluke.
Here's what Conor.
Like, he got lucky in that hit. Listen. He may be skilled, but he got lucky in that hit.
Okay.
That landed the way it did and knocked the dude out.
Okay, granted.
Aren't they doing like an immediate.
No.
Do they call it a retrial?
What rematch.
Do they
call it? Rematch. No, they're not, actually.
They're not.
They're not. Yeah, there's another guy named Frankie Edgar, who's actually my favorite fighter over Conor McGregor. Yeah.
Edgar's a good fighter.
He's got a title shot against
him. Sooner or later, McGregor is going
to
fall.
Yeah, to Frankie
and
Edgar.
You're going to be quite bitter about it.
Look at that. You're jumping on the. You were all about McGregor, and now you're jumping on the Frankie
Edgar. No, Frankie Edgar's always been my favorite fighter because he's all heart. He doesn't have as much skill as everyone else, but he's just all heart. So, like, I like that about him. Like, Conor McGregor is, like, just a skill. He's skillful. But
skillful and bullshitting.
Yeah, that too. He's good at talking. I like shit talkers. Frankie doesn't talk shit. He's just all heart. I appreciate that in a fighter.
Hate shit talkers.
But Conor McGregor Thursday, after they did like their little media presser, like pre-fight presser.
Isn't this the guy who said, "Tell him I'm your daddy"?
Yeah, it's the one. That's the same guy.
See, that's just disrespect.
So look,
yeah, McGregor's been doing it for like a better part of a year now. I think, actually,
that to me represents everything I despise
tell him
about this.
I'm his daddy.
Everything I despise about the board. It's about like the worst. If you think about it, like right now, you're glorifying nothing.
It's not the greatest sport in the world.
No. If you're like,
if I enjoy it.
If you sit back and you think about it, you're literally glorifying two grown men being violent towards each other for money.
Mm-hmm. They're prize fighters.
Like, that's fucked up. Yeah. I mean, football pushes it. Football's pretty fucked up too in my mind, but. UFC is like a home, but not UFC alone. Boxing's the same way too. Boxing's fucking violent as hell.
I know, but listen. So Conor McGregor Thursday after the presser.
So you like fake wrestling and real wrestling?
Yeah, exactly.
If you think about it, like, he balances it out. He watches the fake shit and then he goes.
Well, he likes combat sports and combat entertainment.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
Combat's entertainment.
Yeah, sports entertainment.
Sports entertainment is.
But then again, though, wrestling. He likes watching movies where people shoot each other, too. So it's really.
No, I'm not a fan of action movies like that.
Yeah, I'm not a big action movie fan. I enjoy
beating
them.
People up, comic shooting people, movies,
laser stuff. You have all sorts of violent tendencies for a man who's not particularly skilled in fighting.
I know. I'll probably get my ass.
That's a polite way to say for a wuss.
Not a wuss. I would just get my ass kicked if I got in fights.
But you have heart. I see you. You're not afraid to back. You don't back down.
No, I don't. I just get my ass kicked sometimes.
You're willing to get your ass kicked, is it? You do have heart. I will give you that.
I'm not above.
He's like that scrappy. Yeah. He's like that scrappy dog.
We have a lot of friends. We grew up a lot of people that were like that.
Scrappy, get their ass kicked, but they just won't give up.
Yeah, but I have full confidence that Diz will do whatever he can to win.
This is true.
He's a dirty fighter.
I am a dirty fighter. Yeah. I'll kick you in the balls. I don't give a shit. I'll gouge your eyes. I'll fish hook you. I fucking.
What's a fish hook?
Like,
put it's like will you hook the.
Why would you put your finger in someone's mouth?
To fucking rip their cheek off.
Why would you put your finger in someone's mouth?
If I have to.
That's just
fish hooking.
Unhygienic.
Haven't you seen gangs in New York?
Yeah.
Disgusting.
They try to do that to them. They try to do it to DiCaprio. They try to fish hook them.
It's unhygienic.
Or DiCaprio try to fish hook someone else.
No, I think they try to fish hook him.
Yeah. I don't know. Anyways, either way. So McGregor, Thursday, in an interview with the reporter, goes, I saw his right hand twitching. He's going to overextend his right. I'm going to move out the way, and I'm going to hit him clean with the left hand. Watch. And then 10 seconds into the fight, fucking Jose Aldo lunges at him with a right hand. He ducks out the way, hits him with the left hook, and knocks his ass.
No, but I saw that left hook.
It's clean. That was clean.
It's a lucky hit. Like, you could see it. I mean, don't get me wrong. He's skilled. There's no doubt he's a skilled guy. But the knockout within 13 seconds, you could tell is there's an element of luck in that. He got really.
It's a little. Yeah, really it's like different from the Rousey fight, because the Rousey fight, you got trounced the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas there was like a round and a half. Well,
anytime you knock someone out, and like, I think within a few seconds.
What was his name?
Like that,
Aldo?
Jose
Aldo, yeah.
Yeah, this Aldo guy. Uh-huh. I think he was. You could tell that it was intimidation played a factor in it.
Yeah, right? he was in his head.
Well,
yeah.
it's actually interesting, because if you watch the play, because they did more press for this fight than they do for most any of the other fights.
So what happens in a fight like this, where like they spent all that money? And
they
it made ends a, in 13 seconds.
They made
it.
They still
didn't matter,
made
it, right?
Yeah. Because it's like, it's all about the pay per view sales, about the sponsorship.
But what a waste of time! Like, imagine
that was a great fight card.
Imagine it was a good fight card. It wasn't just that fight.
I'd fuck that shit if I spent like money on pay per view.
There was two title changes that night. Rockhold beat Weidman.
Is that the main fight? Is that what it was?
It was the double main event.
Yeah.
They did. So it was two. It wasn't just that fight.
Yeah, the fight before.
Literally,
was awesome.
My brain can't. I'm sorry.
The fight before was fight of the night, which it deserved, absolutely deserved. Luke Rockhold looked amazing against Chris Weidman.
Chris Weidman,
The Jacare Yoel Romero fight was great.
Yeah. This is all Greek to me.
Jacare is actually he's a bit of a legend in the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Yeah,
amazing.
Jacare stands alligator. For alligator, right? Yeah, alligator.
I know what it.
Yeah.
Ronaldo Jacare
Sousa. I speak more Portuguese than you do. Don't tell me.
Yeah.
No, my favorite is Yoel Soldier of God Romero, because the last time he won a fight, he said, this is right after gay marriage was voted legal by the Supreme Court Justice, and he calls himself the Soldier of God, and everything he does is for Jesus. America, what's wrong with you? Don't forget Jesus. Why you forget Jesus? Why you forget Jesus, America? Don't forget Jesus.
I don't think anyone's claiming Jesus is gay. Actually, there are some people.
He doesn't speak English well.
Oh.
So he was trying to say, America, don't forget Jesus. Why have you forgotten Jesus?
Oh, it sounds like he's saying gay.
Oh, gay Jesus.
But he's saying forget.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
You have to clarify.
Even I heard
the poor guy.
I just said for gay Jesus. I said no, forget Jesus.
It's like when Vandalay.
Oh, my God. Are you serious? Yeah. That is hilarious.
It's like when Vandalay said he wanted to fuck Chuck.
Yeah. I wouldn't fuck Chuck. Fight Chuck.
Yeah.
Fuck Chuck.
Why did this guy have such a high-pitched voice?
Because it's, I don't know, he yells, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, Tim Candy. So sorry. I don't understand.
Oh, that's horrible.
No, fuck Jesus.
First of all, stop making fun of the Portuguese accent.
That's how he talks. It's Cuban.
Oh, he's Cuban. Okay.
Yeah. But...
Oh, yeah, Yoel Romero. That doesn't sound very Brazilian, does it?
Yeah, it does.
No, Brazilian. Romero.
Oh, Romero.
Yeah.
I mean, no one says the R right in America anyways.
No, they say fucking...
But isn't the hard R is only pronounced in certain areas of Brazil, right? Aren't certain areas of Brazil actually say the R?
Yeah, they say the R. But it depends on where the R is in the word.
But like with Ronaldo, they don't call him Ronaldo, do they?
If the R is in the middle of the word or the name, then it's not it's not a H, it's an R.
Yeah.
If it's in the beginning followed by a vowel, then it's a
Yeah. Mm. They show no respect.
Were very excited.
I was. It was a great fight. It was a great fight. I enjoyed it.
About it through the Twitter. I wasn't watching.
Well, it was huge, because this was like one of the most anticipated fights for a long time.
Literally didn't bother.
Well, you can tell McGregor did get into it, because during this really long, drawn-out press conference season, right, there was points where Jose Aldo was not saying anything while McGregor was just
fucking with him,
tagging on him.
Yeah.
Eventually, it got to the point where they elongated the press for so much that he did eventually get to him.
Yeah.
There was a point where it's like where Jose Aldo was losing himself, but they made these press conferences so damn long.
Yeah.
And they why would they do that?
Because they wanted to. They were hyping the fight. They were really hyping the fight.
It was supposed to happen in July, but Jose Aldo got hurt. Right, he hurt his ribs, so he couldn't fight in July. So McGregor fought Chad Mendes. That was the last.
Yeah, it's just so bizarre to me. Like listening to this, like the extended press releases.
Yeah, they had a world tour, bro.
Like, that's just this is like a kind of a first for them. Actually, they don't normally do it.
They went to Dublin, right? Because that's where McGregor's from. And Jose Aldo claimed to be the king of Dublin, and he said, "You should thank me. I brought the sunshine here. It always rains here, but I come, and now it's sunny. I am the king of Dublin." And then McGregor goes like, "You're the king of England," and he snatched his belt. "I'm the king of England," or "king of Dublin. You're looking at the king," and he stole his belt. It was hilarious.
Yeah, but I guess that's just part of the fight.
Well, I think the only thing I look forward to is seeing this cocky motherfucker get his ass kicked.
Yeah. It all eventually happens, right?
Probably.
What's really funny about that, we always talk about fandom too. It's like there's hundreds of people who every single fight, no matter who you are, will be like, "Oh, he's going to get his ass kicked," and they never do, right? And then that one time when they finally do get their ass kicked, they go, "That's right."
Right? I told you.
It was like where Anderson Silva, for the 7 years that he had the middleweight belt, everyone's like, "He's going to get his ass kicked." And then he finally loses.
Yeah. He keeps dropping his hand. Someone's going to hit him.
He's and then it's like, what? 7 years
it took. The same eagerness that you have for riding McGregor's dick, I have for the end of UFC. For like all things, it will suddenly end.
Whatever, man.
Only to be replaced by something probably more brutal.
In Russia, they're doing sword fighting.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Sword fighting.
I've seen that.
But it's like in conjunction with MMA events.
Yeah, but you've got like armor on and shit. But I'm not surprised. Like in a few years, you're going to be tasing each other and seeing who can stand up the longest.
It's going to be.
Did you see his underhanded tase? That was such a skill technique.
Well, they had this thing.
Stupidity of entertainment and fighting.
It only lasted for like a year, but the original SEG, who used to own the UFC before Zuffa did, started this thing called X-Arm.
Yeah.
This was then like 2007.
It was before that,
but it was literally guys who would arm wrestle one another. They would be tied together and they're allowed to hit each other.
Well, arm wrestling.
See what I'm telling you?
It lasted for like a year, right? It like disappeared after that because it was so stupid.
In 10 years, we're going to see the art of tasing come to be.
Cattle prodding each other.
Connor McGregor.
They're going to hype it up. Look at his cattle prod. I've always found it fascinating. Like this hyper masculinity always has like the subtext of homoeroticism to it too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is absolutely fascinating. Yeah. Someone really should do a whole story.
Well, isn't hyper masculinity it's putting that male figure on a pedestal.
It is.
It would stand to reason that
just basically
that
gay
homosexuality would
gay
kind
is,
of yeah.
right. The enjoyment and pleasure of the male form.
Speaking about gay barbarism, did you watch the GOP debate?
Wait, I did. Before we get into something sad, I have something that you're actually going to be proud of me about.
Okay.
So Conor McGregor
aside.
Conor McGregor aside, I had a pretty decent weekend, minus my Cowboys losing.
Fuck's sake, I was like, if I have to listen to this, it's
really so, 5 minutes of shit. So Sunday night, I was working until like around 7, and after work, I decided to go get a drink with my coworker Trey.
Yeah. I'm proud.
Stop.
We
went to Mangia Bene, right? The little Italian restaurant.
Yeah, I love
right?
that place.
I just got drinks. Yeah. So as soon as we walked in there.
How do you go to a towing place in Nike?
Because
you guys actually go to Mangia Bene for drinks, not like to eat something?
No, because it was raining and we were going to go to Buffalo Wild Wings, but I was like, fuck it, we'll just go to Mangia Bene.
That's true. Yeah, why would you go to Buffalo?
Yeah.
No. It's kind of a weird thing to do.
Well, there was the fucking game was on. They were playing it there. So look, as soon as we walked
it's
in.
It's not that big of a bar.
No, it's not. But as soon as we walked in, I could, like, we walked towards the bar. We sat, like, at the end of the bar, and there's an older couple just staring at us, right? Like, older, when I say older, they're like in their 70s.
I saw this tweet.
Yeah. So.
Oh, I remember reading this tweet. Yeah.
Proud of me for it. Mm. So they're staring hard, like mugging, giving me the dirtiest looks, giving Trey the dirtiest looks. Trey's African American and Puerto Rican. He's got a sleeve tattoo. Mm-hmm. So he's a hoodlum, and I'm a fucking terrorist in their eyes.
How do you know they're thinking that?
Maybe they're wondering.
No, they're
how you get your beard shape.
No, yeah. they're giving us dirty looks and like whispering to each other, and like to the point where like you know like if like you're staring at someone and then like you they catch you staring, you kind of turn away. Mm-hmm. We looked over at them. They didn't. They just kept looking, like just giving us dirty.
This old white couple.
Yeah, just mugging us. So
I. You did go to Manja Bene for drinks.
Yeah. Well, yeah. That, they were there too. Yeah, they were there too, just drinking. Like drinking a glass of wine and
how
shit.
How old are they?
They were like, I said, like fucking 70s.
Mm.
So I look over at Trey and I'm like, you know, like, because I noticed it like fucking a couple times. I'm like, Trey, I don't know if you've seen this, but that old couple's staring at us hard. He's like, yeah, man. He's like, I noticed that from the second we walked in. He's like, you think we should say something to him? Like ask him if there's like an issue or something? I was like, no, I got this. So I have the bartender come to me and I'm like, hey, do me a favor. Can you order a tiramisu for that couple over there and put it on my tab?
Mm.
And she's like, oh, that's so sweet. I'm like, no, trust me, it's not. But please do it for me, right? And she's like, okay. So she goes over to that couple and like she brings over like a cake. And they're like, oh, we didn't order this. She's like, oh, no, it's from those two young gentlemen over there. And they kind of like look at us with like just like the shock and awe of like, why did they give us this, right? And they're like,
it's got anthrax.
They're like, oh, thank you. What was that for, right? And I was like, what could make him more uncomfortable? I put my arm around Trey and I said, well, you guys just look like such a happy couple. We can only hope that one day we can
do that. I am proud of you.
Yeah, good for you.
That is very much an underhanded insult like I would do. Very good. Good on you.
And the look of disgust on their face, like, not only are they niggers, but they're fat niggers.
You can't be dropping those language.
My God.
This is what they were thinking in their head. It's satirical. I can say it.
No, you can't quote. You can't even quote.
I can quote it.
I don't allow you. I use both of them. I love how we both simultaneously. And he's the cringe.
With a hard ER, too.
Yeah. That's what they were thinking.
With a hard ER.
No.
That's exactly what they were thinking. I would kill.
I was proud of you until that moment.
Yeah. I would have killed to be in their car ride home just to hear what they were saying.
I was.
Because you know it threw off their whole. I guarantee you it's thrown off their whole month. Yeah. They don't know what the hell is going on. They're going to go to a fucking Muslim mosque or like a
Muslim mosque. I'm not sure what other mosque is there.
I meant to say like
a Jewish mosque.
I was going to say Muslim
homeless shelter. Someone the other day kept saying Jewish church and I kept going, synagogue. So I was at this Jewish church, synagogue. And the church was really, I'm like, synagogue.
Literally. It's so much easier to say synagogue.
Yeah, and I just kept saying synagogue and I don't think they realized I was correcting them. I think they thought I had Tourette's or something. Just saying random words.
Oh, he's probably praying or something.
I was like, literally, every single like, man, so this Jewish church, like, synagogue. I just kept doing that.
So I was going to say Muslim homeless shelter, but there is none of them. So they probably went to like a mosque and were like, we need to find out more about these Muslims. They gave us cake. They're nice people. Like,
or hopefully. They probably hate you.
Oh, yeah. That too.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you just used a hard them. ER.
Well, that's what they were thinking. Describe
what they were thinking.
I can't believe it. Literally, I had a thought in my mind. In it. Like a bulldozer. A bulldozer that thought out. I don't know what I was going to say now.
You know, I hashtagged that actually, the sweet hod.
Yeah.
Sweetheart.
I was going to say.
I was wondering what that meant. I just liked it anyway.
I was going to say something. I have no
clue. You were going to say that you appreciated my.
No, that was something else. There's another thought that it triggered. And that thought is like been killed by your dropping of.
You notice how it went from like absolute approval to just complete disapproval? Yeah,
that's what I did.
It literally took
story
a
of my
second.
Life. Story of my life.
It was.
You give me hope, and then I realize that you're a scumbag.
I'm not a scumbag.
Isn't that kind of the
this is our relationship. This is my relationship with him. It's hope filled with utter disappointment. It's like irrepressible hope that then gets crushed immediately.
That's even worse because like if he was just you know always disappointed with you, then he'd eventually get used to it.
Yeah.
But you like give him that little glimmer
of moment. Yeah. My general outlook on most people is disappointment and disapproval. In general, it's a religion for me, right?
But I give him like little tiny bits of hope, like, oh, this is a good person. God damn it, he said the N-word.
Yeah. This is literally my life.
What's next? He's going to talk about rape and women.
Oh, you know, there's hope.
It's like maybe he's learning. That's what it is. He's playing with your expectations. Like, oh, maybe this is learning. He's like, nope. You know, he's changing.
I feel like you would have done the same thing.
Yeah. For a moment there, I was going to say, the student has become the master. And then I went, nope. He's still got a lot to learn.
What? I'm telling you.
He's looking out of my class.
He's stuck in remedial English.
it's literally, I'm sitting there writing the grade, and I go, A, crossed out, F. I'm in the grading mood.
It's a fact. That's they're thinking. He had a thick New Jersey accent. I guarantee you he's like, Trump 2016.
Why? Because New Jersey's all for Trump?
Yes. Redneck what? New Jerseyans.
New Jersey has Christie.
Yeah.
And he's also,
I love Christie.
That's also terrible.
They hate Christie. Mm-hmm. They hate Christie with a passion.
Well, everyone hates Christie.
New Jersey's like...
They're Christie people. Though. Like, I mean, he's in office.
Like, so we hate this guy as our governor. I don't know how he managed to convince people that he might be a good president. Like, New Jerseyans hate that guy. He shut down a bridge.
That's true.
It's unforgivable. Traffic?
Yeah. New Jersey?
Even more traffic is what I should say.
And a turnpike, shitty as it is. Right?
Yeah.
You ever been on the New York, New Jersey turnpike?
I've not been on the turnpike.
I have. I used to drive to New York all the damn time.
I didn't drive anywhere in that fucking...
Yeah, dude. We used to... It's normally a four-hour drive. We drove there. We would drive there on Thanksgiving. It would take us like fucking 12 hours. It was...
I've been in New York in a little bit.
Yeah. It sucks.
I'm not a fan of New York. I like New York better than I like L.A.
No, I don't.
I do. L.A., you get lost in really easy.
Yeah.
So New York has a grid, at least.
Yeah, New York is an old system, right?
Mm-hmm.
LA is built off of the hub system without the hubs.
Yeah.
It's true. Yeah, just like most old cities are built off of hubs, right?
Mm-hmm.
My UK friends often remark that why don't we have the roundabouts?
Yeah.
Right? That's what most big cities are famous for. It helps mitigate traffic.
Uh-huh.
Right? Yeah. You keep moving, but you move in a circle.
Yeah.
Right?
DC is?
DC is a perfect example of that. DC is one of the few cities that are in the United States that's built off of the hub with the hub.
Yeah.
LA is built off the hub without any hub, though.
Yeah.
But because it's not a grid system. Like, you don't go six blocks down on whatever.
Yeah. I mean, inside DC, like on like the streets and shit.
Yeah.
There's like a grid system, but like around it,
it's a roundabout. Well, then grid and route, they go together.
Yeah, like the belt.
New York is easier to not get lost in. You can find your way.
Yeah. They have
but I don't like New York as a city. It's too busy. People are always bumping into you. Public transportation is awkward,
mm-hmm.
right? I'm like, it's great that they've got public transportation, fantastic bus systems, great subway, you know, the taxi. But then, you know, when you're in the subway, they've designed it so you're staring at somebody.
Yeah, yeah, it's true.
Right?
Yeah,
so
yeah,
it's not like a train where you're all facing forward.
Yeah, yeah.
You're sitting like facing inward, staring at one another.
Yeah.
And there's always that one guy that shot himself. I'm sorry, it's on the mind.
Yeah. They don't understand.
They don't understand.
But we should give context, otherwise they're going to think Diz pooped himself.
I periodically stop the podcast to make sure there's no like audio errors. So when I stopped the podcast this time, I mentioned about the fighter we were talking about, the gay Jesus guy, the no fuck gay Jesus, Yoel Romero. In his last three fights prior to this one, he said the no for gay Jesus. The second fight before that, he wouldn't get off a stool in between rounds. He just kept sitting there, and like it caused a lot of controversy because he sat there for an extra minute and a half and he was almost knocked out. And then in the fight before that, he crapped himself.
And we had a... He explained.
I explained. He hit the guy so hard that he pooped himself.
See, like, I was under the impression that he was knocked out. Like
he voided his bowels.
Yeah, and he lost control of his bowels. But when I found out, he punched someone so hard.
he pooped himself.
Yeah. We literally laughed for 5 minutes
We had a long pause.
We had a long pause.
That was Derek Brunson that he fought, by the way.
Yeah. Filled with all sorts of...
Yeah.
Puns and
it gives a new meaning to the smell of victory.
That was me. You gotta cite you.
Yeah, I was saying that's what you said.
I did say that.
That was hilarious.
I did.
New York smells like shit too.
Yeah, this was kind of weird.
Sorry, New York listeners.
Which is interesting because the new Harry Potter movie is supposed to be based in New York.
Yeah, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
Yeah, I'm interested about this because. This is going to be the first Harry Potter kind of... It's a Harry Potter spinoff.
Yeah, it's like a...
Right, so it's not Harry Potter. But you said it was 70 years?
Yeah, it takes place 70 years before... Because it's...
So you it's know in how the 1900s.
In one of those books, one of those movies and books, Harry Potter picks up a book that's like eating itself. Like
That's based off of that.
Yeah, Fantastic Beasts.
Yeah.
Beasts
or whatever. What I'm interested in is that it's... Based in New York.
Yeah, it's based in
New York. Right, because one of the things that Harry Potter is famous for is, one, it's based off a genre of English literature that Americans aren't overly familiar with, and that is the boarding school,
mm-hmm.
right? The teen kid
boarding school genre. Yeah. It's very common, right? Because for us, we think of high school as kind of the...
Yeah, we don't have boarding schools.
No, we don't really have boarding schools.
J.D. Salinger, Catcher in the Rye, that's an American author?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that took place in a boarding
school. Kind of. So, like, it's not a big genre here.
No.
For us, our coming-of-age stories are what?
High schools. Yeah,
they're high school stories, right?
Yeah.
So they often take place where? The cafeteria.
Yeah, that's right.
So, like, that's the iconic Americana
image.
Football field. The cafeteria, right? Which is always filled with what? The click tables, the food fight.
Mean Girls.
Right? That's all very classical Americana. But for the British, it's the boarding school.
Do they all go to boarding schools in Britain?
No, they don't all go to it. But it's a very iconic... Just like we don't all have cafeterias. I mean, V and I didn't have a cafeteria.
You didn't have a cafeteria?
Not really, no.
No, we don't have a cafeteria.
That's weird.
We had like these like stations where you could buy food, but there wasn't like an actual cafeteria.
It's not a cafeteria.
You guys didn't have a cafeteria?
No. That's I mean, so you can call it a cafeteria, but technically it's the food court.
You guys didn't have like...
It was an indoor food court. Yeah. You go to the different... There's like a taco place. It used to be Taco Bell. Place where you get your pizza.
Wait, you guys had a Taco Bell inside your school?
We did.
Our freshman year, we had Taco Bell.
And then they got cheap. And
they got cheap
frozen.
And they went into that cheap campus catering shit.
Yeah.
Oh, what the hell, dude? That's awesome.
So ours was campus catering.
Right? We had like fucking two lines. You either sat in one line or the other line. And then they had like a little snack line in the middle where you can just get stuff a la carte.
No, ours was... Well, we had the a la carte stuff. But ours was campus catering. It used to be you got your food. The food was from outside that was brought in. It's not like made there is the key, right? No, well, some of it is, right? The cookies are, but some of the other stuff isn't.
Oh, does Spunkmeyer?
Whereas cookies? Like the cafeteria iconically is you have the cafeteria lady.
Right? Yeah, we had a cafeteria.
She makes
lady.
They make the food there.
It's all in trays and they slop
tray
on the
and you slide down one line.
Yeah,
that's right? We weren't like that. We were food court. Like you'd actually pay money and you'd buy a la carte.
I mean, we'd pay for a food at the end.
Yeah, but it wasn't a line like a.
It's like there would be an area we can buy burgers. I mean, area we buy tacos.
The way it looks like is like a mall food court, kind of.
Whoa,
just not with restaurants.
What kind of fucking rich ass school is this?
Solution again?
Yeah, it was. It was South.
We were quite fortunate because I mean high school food school food in general is really bad.
Yeah,
there's like whole documentaries right now going on the controversies of food in America in American schools. It's just atrocious.
Well, Jamie Oliver did those shows a couple years ago.
This is another brilliant one where they show kids from around the world what American kids eat for lunch, and they're like they're all horrified. They're
some of our prisons get more nutrition than some of the schools do sometimes.
Dude, this is nuts to me that you guys had a food court.
Yeah, it was a really rich. We didn't even have lockers when we were going to school. We had a book set of textbooks and we had a school set of textbooks.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
We had textbooks at home.
Yeah.
That we took home and textbooks in school that were behind the sliding whiteboards.
Yeah, that we used while we were at school. But we had a set to take home and we had a set to use at the school.
That's weird to me.
It's changed now. Now there's lockers in that high school. That's but weird. When we were there,
it's Orange County.
Yeah, and your guys' school is like outdoors and shit. There's no like roofs on most of the stuff, right?
I mean, the classrooms.
But like they were like, I mean,
yes,
like,
it was like an open
It was like an open campus.
There is no quarters, right? The way it was designed. There were quarters, but the way it's designed is that there were like miniature buildings.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So like you had the English quarter, the math quarter, and the whatnot. But when you went between classes, you were outside.
Like college campus.
It's the way it's kind of like a
small,
conference.
Really small scale. But it's California, you know. Like we get nice weather all the time.
It was also the first of its kind that was like that.
Yeah.
And it was then used. What was the other school called? The one that it. Was built right after our high school.
University?
Tesoro.
Tesoro is the newest school.
Tesoro is the newest.
It's literally the same exact design architecturally.
Your high school was like one of the newer schools in Orange County?
It opened like 97 or 98 or something.
And then
it was
the design that they're trying to replicate.
My school
It's like a prefabricated.
In like 1900s.
Yeah, I know.
1920.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of schools in South Orange County that were, you know, like this Dana Hills High School.
Capo is really old.
Yeah, like there's certain high
what standards?
By those standards by any means.
East Coast is always going to be old.
Yeah, like my
same
elementary
thing,
school.
Like, for example, you put something like Princeton up against something like UCI, which was built in the 1960s.
Yeah, right? See, that's still relatively new.
Or even
that's
like
considered
like,
a new school,
like Soka University.
Soka University was built in the 2000s.
Yeah, so like that place is like it's just like it looks completely modern. Yeah.
That shit's trippy to me, man.
Yeah. The UCI is considered the youngest of the UCs.
We put on a car show every
year.
Davis
is now.
Yeah.
What about the other one? Merced. I don't know what Merced is.
Merced's the newest one, I think.
I don't think so. Maybe. I don't know. I don't pay attention to those.
Either way, that's weird.
Yeah. Riverside's also really young.
Yeah.
Our books take place in like schools, cafeterias, and shit.
Right. Whereas the English genre is
boarding schools.
So this is gonna be fascinating because it breaks two of the iconic Harry Potter images.
Yeah, it's right? not taking place.
It's
in
not
school.
Taking place in England.
Yeah,
right. That's the other thing. Harry Potter. Everyone in Harry Potter was British.
Yeah,
right. They might have been Irish or Scottish or English,
United
but
Kingdom.
They were from. Yeah. They were British, right? Uh-huh. Now, fascinatingly, it also corresponded with the crew and cast. Everyone in the crew and cast was English. It was like Lord of the Rings.
Including the director?
I think it was some of the cast or some of the crew weren't, right? But it's in Everpine, which is the big big UK.
But
London.
The directors were English too for
I
Harry
believe
Potter?
So. The
Christopher Columbus?
The
I thought he was Portuguese.
It was done in history. It was done in Everpine, which is London's big studio, England studio. It's actually also where Star Wars is being
the new one.
The new one is being filmed at Everpine. J.J. Abrams does a lot of his filming there. He did the Star Trek there.
Ah,
The Star Trek. He does the Star Wars there as well. And it's the same way with Lord of the Rings. Lord of the Rings was an iconic
in New Zealand.
New Zealand, right? But it had American actors, right?
Yeah.
And British actors.
Yeah.
But the crew was entirely
from New Zealand.
From New Zealand, right? So this new Harry Potter spinoff.
Yeah.
Is going to be even older than Harry Potter.
70 years before.
It's going to be in America.
Yeah.
That's a break. And it's going to be outside the traditional boarding school image, right?
Yeah.
The English school. Mm-hmm. So I think that's going to be, I don't know how I feel
about
that.
It looks good.
It does look good. I mean, it has Eddie Redmayne in it.
In the first one, in the trailer, it's like Lumos.
Eddie Redmayne just did his, he did a fantastic, The Danish Girl, I think it's called. He plays the first transsexual.
Ah.
Yeah, looks absolutely stunning. I haven't seen it, but I'm fully intending to go.
Do you think maybe that Abby girl from Texas is gonna go to the Supreme Court and be upset that they let too many trolls in to that school?
Yeah,
not enough white people.
I like the response to the Abby girl.
It actually went really well.
Yeah,
well, didn't Justice Scalia say that she's got a point because black people are?
Which point are we gonna rethink the Supreme Court? Right? Because if you say something obnoxiously stupid like that, you have to. This is the thing about the Supreme Court. We want it to be independent, right? So we don't want it to be serving the political interest, right? So that's why we don't want judges to campaign. We don't want judges to be elected. None of that, right? That's great. I'm all for that. But at which point do you accept the fact that because someone serves for a lifetime, they also bring the baggage of previous decades with that.
That's true.
Scalia is the worst. He's one of the. I mean, I'm not a fan of Clarence Thomas either. Mm-hmm. I find him obnoxious. But of all the Supreme Court
justices. Clarence Thomas still a Supreme Court justice?
Yeah, he's still Supreme Court justice. Right. The one that I abhor the most, though, is
Scalia.
Who brought Scalia in? Fucked up shit. I don't remember.
Bush.
No.
Bush Sr.
I think he's been in since the Great Depression, actually.
Yeah, he's probably been around. I think it was Reagan. I'm not sure. I'll look that up while you keep talking.
Yeah,
But what did he say? Explain.
Scalia basically, I'm going to fucking paraphrase and spark notes it here. Mm-hmm. He basically said that black people should go to inferior schools because they're inferior to white people, basically, is what I got out of it. He was basically saying that they're more likely to fail at a school like the University of Texas Austin than like a less prestigious school.
So this issue is because there's now oral arguments being heard in the Supreme Court, right? Over affirmative action. This chick named Abby something or another, right? Who has absolutely zero credentials or qualifications to get in the UT, right? She's not top student. She's not good grades. Nothing of that sort.
Yeah, she's an average student.
Average student is pissed off that she didn't get accepted and claims that a student of color
took her place.
With lower credentials or qualifications took her place.
Uh-huh.
Right. So she basically is suing. She's challenging it, the decision. She is taking it all the way to the Supreme Court, and now the Supreme Court is hearing orals about it. And that's when Justice Scalia made this remark. During the orals is when you can kind of predict where the court's going to go, right? Because you'll hear judges, the way they question, what they say. You go, okay, they're either going to be for it. You could tell that, for example, Scalia is against affirmative action when he says stupid shit like that, mm-hmm. that you know, black people do better at lower schools. Mm-hmm. But that's my issue. Is like, at which point do we go, I don't know. I don't have an answer for this, obviously, right? I'm asking you guys.
Uh-huh.
Right. At which point
you guys do you go? Me and V.
Yeah, you and the listeners. Okay. When they hear, they could tweet. At which point do we go? Okay, this judge now isn't no longer. They're no longer interpreting the Constitution.
Yeah,
they're just a relic of the fucking past.
Yeah.
Right. When someone says something like that, overtly racist, right? Black people do better at shittier schools.
He goes to the slower track schools. Yeah.
Like, so what do you say to that? Like, it's also particularly awkward that sitting to the right of him is Clarence Thomas, right? So, like, what is...
There's literally a black man who is just the exact same rank as he is.
So, like, what do you say? Like, it's going to be one of the most awkward moments.
And you have Sotomayor, who's like a...
Sotomayor has actually recused herself, if I'm not mistaken. Either her or Keegan, one of them have recused themselves.
What does that mean?
Recused meaning they've decided not to...
Yeah, they're not involving
which
themselves.
Which I think is a dumb move, because that then limits the liberal judges.
Yeah. Stupid. See,
well, the activist judges.
Now,
right?
How does one? Like, how do you take someone off the Supreme Court if they're there for life?
You technically, I mean, there is a way, but it's a long process. But in general, you don't
by poison.
No, they're in there for life until they retire or they die.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's and he's the chief. Is he the chief justice?
He's not the chief.
Who's the chief justice?
Roberts.
Oh, yeah.
This is what we have to ask ourselves: is this a problem? Right.
Yes.
Or is it not? Like, we can't also, at the same note, the danger of that is, like, what happens when their opinion is unpopular, right? The court shouldn't be swayed by popular opinion, right? So, like, just because a judge may have an unpopular opinion,
can
we then, if there's an apparatus in play, can we use that to remove that judge?
Can you impeach a judge?
You can remove a judge. It's very difficult to do so.
Yeah. See, that's the thing.
It's never happened as far as I know.
But that's the point, right? Look, here's my deal, all right? I could get it if you're against affirmative action, whatever, you know, if that's what you
are. But it's not that he said something unpopular. It's that he said something outright.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's not that he said something like, you know, like, look, hey, personally, I don't think gays should get married. If he said that, like, you know, it's against my religious beliefs, but whatever, you know, I understand it's the law of the land. Cool, whatever. You don't like it, but you understand it's the law.
Yeah, but see, at the end of the day, the Supreme Court's job is to express their opinions. That's really what they do.
But that's not what they're supposed to do. What their job is to interpret the U.S. Constitution.
Interpretation is just opinion.
That's fucking stupid.
As a historian who works solely in interpretation.
Yeah.
That's literally what interpretation is.
Yeah, but
I mean, it's evidence-based, clearly. It's not just an opinion. It's an opinion based in evidence.
It's a hypothesis.
But it is still an opinion.
Yeah, but I mean, give your opinion, but don't fucking sit there and say some asinine bullshit like, oh, black people are inferior.
That's so Twitter naturally responded to Abby.
Or they call it Dear Abby or whatever?
No.
Stay mad
Abby.
Oh, yeah.
Which, I mean, because if you think about it, this Abby case is one of the most fantastic examples of entitlement.
A waste of tax dollars?
And privilege, right? The idea that you are born, you've done absolutely nothing to earn your way into UT, but you feel you are entitled to be at university.
You had way better grades than this Abby chick, right? Coming out of high school.
Mm-hmm.
And the one school you wanted to get into.
I didn't get into.
You didn't get into.
And then I waited and I got into it.
So you went to a junior college.
Yep.
And I'm not going to say it because you're going to fucking take it to heart and it's going to make your ego even feel
better. No, say it.
You're fucking eight times the person this Abby girl is, and you went to a junior college.
I'm not going to take it to heart because that's not much of a compliment.
Yeah.
She's an idiot.
I'm just saying.
It's like eight times zero is still zero.
Yeah. You know? But, I mean, one, that's an example of how
I stroke your ego.
No, you don't need to stroke my ego. My ego is fantastic without it.
Yeah,
that's a prime example of the type of determined stubbornness that I have, right? Uh-huh. It's like, you won't say no to me. But
you got into all the other schools except for one.
I actually got into Harvard.
You didn't get into UCLA.
The one that I wanted to, I didn't get into at the time.
It pissed you off.
Yeah, it pissed me off, and I waited, and I got into it. I did.
You fucking stubborn.
With a scholarship, mind you. So, it's a testament to mind type of mentality. It's also a testament to the idea that you don't earn college. Now, don't get me wrong. I think there is something fundamentally wrong with the admissions process at universities. I do. I think they're very arbitrary. I think that they can.
Yeah,
I mean,
bullshit.
Great students don't get accepted. Bad students do get accepted. There is a lot of problems, right?
Yeah.
That we should rethink. But this is part of the wider education reform that I believe in. But the idea that you are entitled to, and the fact that you have no qualifications, but you think Think a less qualified person of color.
If she was a straight A student,
that's so fucked up.
If she was
because there's so many. You know, one of the best responses to this was, "How come she's not complaining about the hundreds or the thousands of white students that got in and took her place?" Right?
Yeah.
Why is it that it's a person of color? You do realize they make up less than like 2% of a population. Like at UCI, we have 2% black population, black students.
Yeah, on campus. I mean that there's not a big black population in Orange County.
But that's what I'm saying, though. You know what I mean? Like, even affirmative action isn't this big. So it doesn't take away these opportunities from white people.
In Texas, I think black people make up for about 12% of the population.
Still a small percentage on campus.
They make up for 12% of the general population. I think about 3% of the University of Texas Austin students are black. And I think, like, of those, like, 60% are sports athletes. Just me being racist again, but
yeah, but there was, because I mean, I think I don't know the numbers exactly, but it was like of the students that were technically like had a lower GPA than she did, there was only like 5 that were Hispanic and Latino, and there was like 46 of them that were white, you know, and obviously she didn't, you know, she obviously focused in on that smaller minority.
I love that. Minorities. Well, this is the thing about affirmative action. People who are against affirmative action, right, is they always focus on that small percentage. And we talked about this in media representation, one of the discussions that we had, right?
Yeah.
It's like 99% is white.
90.
Right? Right? So, no, 99.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We'll say 99% is white. With affirmative action or calls for more representation in media or all this stuff, you're hoping for it to be 10% white, right? So it brings it down to 90. They still have 90% representation, 90% admittance or whatnot, right? But they focus on the loss of that like 8%.
Yeah.
They're like, oh my God, 8%, we've given up. We're doomed. Attack on white people. I'm like, no, motherfucker. It's still a predominantly white campus. It's still predominantly white media. It's still predominantly white CEOs. So you see what I'm saying? It's like at the end of the day, these tools, affirmative action, quota systems, etc., right, don't actually eliminate the problem. They just help to shift the demographics ever so slightly. I mean, at California, we've actually removed there was a law, and I forget, don't quote me, I forgot the name of the law.
Megan's Law.
It was Prop 209 or something like that, right?
Yeah.
And it was, what it basically did is it removed ethnic and racial categories at the UCs, at all the universities in California. And as a result, in California, we did see a significant drop, right?
In what?
In admissions of people of color.
Oh, right? Shit.
And minority population. We did from, it was struck down in 1996. And there's been a steady decline ever since. And there's other ways that they've tried to like address it, right? Uh-huh. So there isn't a quota system in play, but there's an accountability system. So like they put up the numbers, right? It's like who's admitted and who's not. So they're trying to address it. But this is a prime example of what happens, right? When there isn't these checks in play, the system is automatically geared to favor the majority. Automatically. So that a person who is qualified but comes from a minority background, meaning that they may not have possibly the financial means to get in or whatnot, has less of an opportunity, right? So these systems like affirmative action, they're not perfect. Don't get me wrong. As much as I say, like, as much as I'm hating on Abby right now, affirmative action is not a solution.
No.
It's not. It's a really flawed tool for a fucked up system.
You know, I often wondered if we were to ask people, African American families in this country about their ancestry and stuff, would they be like, well, listen, okay, what if we were to swap? Would you be okay? Or ask white families, stupid. Would you be okay? Let's say you get all these benefits that the that quote unquote minorities are getting now.
They get benefits,
huh? Or like these, you know, these perceived benefits, affirmative action,
swap places,
everything else. Yeah, but you know, but you also get, you know, the coming to this country because you're slaves, crippling the economy for your races, being treated as second class citizens, not being able to get loans. I mean, hell, even in South Orange County, until what, the mid 90s, they were having trouble. black families are even having trouble getting houses in our area.
Well, I mean, this is how systemic racism works, right?
But it's like, ask them to swap places. What would they say?
They never will. It's soft racism, right? Soft racism works in this fashion. So someone in the 1960s who's trying to get a loan in order to get into a nice neighborhood, right, and buy a house, doesn't get approved because they're black, right? Or the neighborhood doesn't sell to them. So as a result, they have to live in, let's say, an inner city, right? In a ghetto, the ghettoization, right? Then their children are raised in that environment in an economically disadvantaged position. Those children then have obstacles in the way as, because money smooths things out in life, right? So they have obstacles in the ways of getting into college, getting what, and this, you see how it impacts generations. Some person in the 1960s unable to get a house because of the racism then faces the consequences of that racism in 2015.
Their family does.
Right? Their family does. And then it perpetuates in that way. Now, do people break that cycle? Do people get out of that cycle? Yes, but it's a systemic wide thing. I mean, an example of this is right now the Freddie Gray case. Right?
Yeah.
So the officer.
Oh, my God.
Right. So it was a hung jury. That doesn't mean it's over, right? So the officer William Porter, the jury was a hung jury, and so the judge declared a mistrial.
I know. He says, I do declare a mistrial.
I do declare.
That's what I saw the quote. I do declare a mistrial.
And so what does this mean? That means that it's going to go back to trial. It's going to be started all over again.
God damn it.
But, right, this is the type of obstacles that we face as a legal system that is not entirely colorblind.
No. I mean, it's a legal system that works, and I hate to say this because it's going to sound like I'm anti-cop, but it works for police officers. Now, the DA in another case that happened, I forgot where it was, but it was Thanksgiving. There was a DUI. The fucking car rolled over. The guy is drunk, pulling himself out the car, and the cop shoots him in the neck, and now he's paralyzed, right? Potentially could die. They declare that it warrants that it's an accident, but if you've seen the video, like, the guy just pops his head out of the car, like he's trying to pull himself out the fucking car that's tipped over, and the cop pulls out his gun and shoots him. No cause, no reason. Claimed it was an accident. But, like, you can't have the district attorney who works with the police officers prosecute these police officers because it fucks them up later on in life. So when you have in this Freddie Gray case, right, on the officer that's being, like, charged in the Freddie Gray case, if you have a prosecutor who's working for the police at the same time as he's trying to go after a policeman, like, how does that sound right to anyone? Like, I don't understand. Does that make sense to you guys that the district attorney who works with the police officers is trying a police officer? Does that not sound like a conflict of interest?
It's not necessarily conflict of interest because the DA, even though they work with the police officers, they are in a completely different department, a different branch. They don't often work very closely together. Like, cops don't see the DA. Like, the DA doesn't hang out. It's not like Law and Order. Like, the DA doesn't hang out in the precinct, right? They're very different branches.
Yeah, but they still
and the
work
DA's
together.
Office works through ADAs, right? So, like, DAs often don't take cases themselves. DAs run the office. The ADAs do the courtroom stuff.
Yeah,
at least in bigger cities, right? So, like, LA,
Baltimore,
New York, Baltimore, these places, the ADAs generally do the cases. Unless it's a spotlight case, then the DA steps in and does it.
Yeah.
Generally, it's the ADA that does most of the stuff. But I agree with you. There's all sorts of problems when it comes to cases like this between the legal system and the police officers. Doesn't mean all police officers are bad
or
a manty cop, but the legal system is slanted to protect its own.
Yeah.
Right? So simultaneously that this is going on, Oklahoma City, Daniel Holtzclaw was just found guilty of rape.
Yeah.
He raped women of color, black women.
Prostitutes and stuff.
Yeah, prostitutes of them. He faced 36 counts. He was found guilty on 18 of those. And what he basically did is he followed these women. He assaulted them, raped them.
Yeah, he took them, took them to like alleys and shit.
Forced them. 13 women, all black. And
ranging from like 17 to like 50.
But it took a long time because the first report was dismissed and the second report was dismissed. So, like, the thing is, like, these people, these women weren't believed.
Yeah,
because
they were prostitutes.
Because he's a cop.
right? Because he has a level of protection. And I understand why, right? The system was worked because officers may face a lot of
allegations. Yeah, absolutely, right? Yeah.
So I understand why, but these are the perils of a legal system that is as flawed as it is, that has this issue of race built into it. I mean, we forget that we often talk about history as if this is the problem of what's known as empty homogenous time in history, right? This mm-hmm. idea of time having no meaning. Right?
Uh-huh.
Of time just passing, that we're able to distance ourselves. So we look at something like slavery, which happened 200 years ago, roughly, and we see it as like the past, it's done, right? That's how history is viewed, right, in the public. Historians don't view that. Historians don't see time as linear. We see time as working simultaneously.
Wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey.
Yeah, kind of wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey, as Doctor Who would say, right? Uh-huh. And so we don't see this as, 200 years ago, it's done. We also see it as sedimentary, right? The things are built on top of each other and therefore replicate. But there's in the public, we go, 200 years ago, racism, done, right? We don't see how laws written in Virginia in 17-whatever mm-hmm. then are reinscribed in laws written in 1996,
uh-huh.
right? That they replicate it, that they go, we probably shouldn't talk about black people like they're one, you know, they don't count as full human beings.
So one third,
right? Maybe they should have equal protection under the law. But then we have other ways of inscribing racism, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like in this case. Now, he was eventually found guilty, but he had to rape 13 people before he was found guilty. Imagine a legal system where it was taken serious the first time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Then again, 12 women would not have been raped.
Yeah. I mean, let's face it, being a black woman and having a job that is on the, you know, outsides of society doesn't get you much in terms of credibility. I mean,
right.
For God's sake, it took till the 90s before if you were someone's wife and your husband raped you, it was considered rape.
Yeah, marital rape was a 90s thing. Like, people forget that. We talk about how progressive we are as a society, but marital rape was a thing in the 90s.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I'm like,
we were raised in the 90s. It's an ancient history.
Exactly.
But this is the problem of our selective amnesia, right? Is we forget how recent these things were, and that these things don't just have an effect that continue on, but they're literally embedded into the system.
Yeah.
Right? So systems like, so this goes right back to affirmative action. I said affirmative action is a flawed tool for a fucked up system.
Yeah. Yeah.
Quote Ali Elomi, 2015, right? Yeah.
Close to 2015.
So I think that's the best way of understanding how we can address these things, because there are no right answers, right? Other than overhauling the entire system.
Anarchy.
Right? Other than anarchy, other than completely overthrow, it takes little small steps of addressing these problems.
Ripple effects.
With flawed tools, messed up tools that don't always work successfully,
but
we know has some positive impact. For example, affirmative action in the case of UT has improved things. In the early 2000s, the population of black students was less than 1%.
Mm-hmm.
It's now what, 4%?
Yeah.
What happens when we remove that? Well, the University of California or the California university systems, Cal States are the same thing. That's what happens. We've seen a marked decrease because in, like I said, 1996, mm-hmm. they removed affirmative action, right? They removed this aspect in California.
Yeah.
Now, there is a marked drop in black admissions, in the admissions of black students in the universities. So we are now at the University of California, I think, if I'm not mistaken, less than 2%.
Holy shit.
Right? Less than 2% of the population.
You said that admitted you said students. That UCI is less.
No, that's UC wide.
UC wide?
Is 2% and less.
Holy shit.
So that's something to think about, right? Affirmative action, you don't have to be a fan of it. You don't have to like it. But it is a tool. It's something that's used to address a systemic problem. The fact that these universities, when they were founded, were all male, all white, right? And that they remained that way for decades and decades and decades. And that when they did start admitting black students, they only admitted small percentages of them. They continued to discriminate based off people's names, based off people's backgrounds and ethnic and racial makeup. So these tools are ways of addressing it. And people like Abby represent the problem in society, entitlement from the dominant majority group. She's mad because she didn't get in. She's not angry that the 80%, no, she's not 80, it's 60%. The 60% white population took her place. She's angry that the 4% black population took her place. Even just from a purely logical perspective, forget your ideology for a second, right? This is just pure politics, right? It's not the 60% that took her place. It's not an unqualified white student that took her place.
Yeah.
It's the 4% black students that took her place.
So would you – now, you've said this before. Now, if you became unconditional ruler of the world, would your policy on only mixed-race couples being allowed still stand this moment?
I'm a big believer in – I said once in a fit of
– Ali rage?
Not Ali rage. We'll call it megalomaniac, evil villain – attempts at fixing the world.
So normal day-to-day life for you?
Day-to-day life. That I would, if I became ruler of the world, I would force interracial marriage.
Uh-huh.
Right?
I remember that.
And then I softened the blow. I did. I'm like, well, I'll give tax credits. But it started off first as forced interracial marriage. And people would hate me for it, right? But within a few generations...
we would have no
racism. We would eliminate. Well, the problem is that it's actually a joke. You wouldn't eliminate racism.
Yeah, because then there'd be mixes, and then there'd be class struggle still.
Race is an arbitrary structure based off of a really superficial skin.
Archaic.
Right? It's made up, though.
Uh-huh.
It's completely made up. Like, race as a concept doesn't exist. There's no biological, right, proof of race.
This is true.
There isn't. Like, if we find a skeleton, we can't generally tell what skin color they had.
But haven't you seen Django Unchained?
This is all.
He said the black guy has the thing there.
It's
for
all
serving.
It's all completely
subservient.
Subservient
mind.
Same thing with like the idea of race. And there's only one human race. It's just one. But we divide up into these sub races like black and eight. Like, it's completely made up, right? No one understands this more than Afghans.
Mm-hmm.
Race do Afghans fall into? They're not white.
But we got to put Caucasian.
But they're actually Caucasian and Aryan descent. They're Indo-Iranian. Yeah.
Like, right? Indians aren't considered to be Asians.
Yeah, but they're not. They're technically Asians because they're in Asia.
They're South Asian.
But they're not Asians.
We're in Asia.
They're not. They're Middle Eastern by culture, but they're not Middle Eastern.
That's how Afghans are.
Where do you put someone like Afghan?
We're Central Asian.
Right? Central Asia is a new thing. It came out of this old, like, Russian project. Technically South Asia.
We're South Asian?
Central Asia is technically the former
USSR.
Yeah. Right? So it's
like Siberia?
Yeah, it's like, well, that's kind of Central Asia.
Right? Right,
that's Asian steppes.
Yeah. Right? We're not that far from Yugoslavia.
No, Yugoslavia no longer exists. You mean we're not that far from Tajikistan and Uzbekistan.
That shit.
Yeah. The reason Afghanistan is considered a Central Asian country is because it has Stan in the name. Really, that's all it is.
What about...
In reality, it's South Asian.
Mm-hmm.
It's South Asian. It's...
Yeah,
and the study of Afghanistan generally falls under South Asia. It's this weird. It's a new thing that came out of the USSR historiography, in which they basically put a bunch of the former USSR as Central Asian, whatever. But this is all prime example. The race is completely, totally made up. So when I say that I'm going to force interracial marriage, it's actually a joke, because at the end of the day, I could do that, and we'd still have racism. You know, people would hate the cappuccino children, right? Everyone hates the damn cappuccino kids. Hoodlums and thugs, a lot of them.
The Asian and white babies are so much better.
They like that virtual reality shit. Godless heathens, right? So, yeah. That's what the future is going to be like. If I take over the world, it's going to be some made up new race that people are going to hate. You know, people are going to hate the people with purple eyes. I hate those guys.
What? Purple eyes?
Yeah, I don't know.
Is that a possibility?
This is genetically possible.
Yeah. Absolutely. You got to do your Punnett squares and figure that shit out.
Who's the kid?
The geneticist.
I got all the recessive genes in my family.
So I'm just saying.
Got hairiness, baldness, shortness.
God damn it.
Are those all recessive?
I think so.
I think so.
Is it really?
Yeah. I don't know. I got all the recessive.
I don't know anything about genes. All I know is that I'm going to conquer the world and force interracial marriage. And if I'm feeling lucky, maybe give tax credits on it.
I'm feeling nice. For interracial marriage.
Yeah. So this has been a crazy podcast. We've kind of ended it on an apocalypse, right? Yeah. I've turned into apocalypse gradually. We started it off with my deep hatred of society and its brutality.
Oh, me giving cakes to black or white couples.
Yeah, right.
That too.
Yeah. But like, we're talking about Conor McGregor, and so I found no hope in society.
Yeah, you really. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
And it ended with me trying to remedy society by saying, you know what? Affirmative action is a tool. Yeah. We're going to force interracial marriage. Yeah. So that was the leap. It starts with the liberal agenda of affirmative action.
Of course.
And it ends with totalitarianism, forced interracial marriage.
Absolutely.
And I think we're going to talk about next time, just to give you a preview, because Star Wars is coming out. By the time you heard this, the midnight release has happened.
Star Wars.
Hopefully, by next time, we have all seen it, and we'll all discuss Star Wars.
Yeah.
So be warned, there will be spoilers next time. And we're going to talk about Apocalypse, because the new trailer just came out.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And there's a lot to discuss there.
I may bring up Jessica Jones, too.
So we're going to have a total nerd out session.
Yeah.
So probably no politics next time.
Unless.
There's another mass shooting. Which is very likely. It's Christmas time.
Or unless another cop kills another unarmed black person.
Yeah. So we'll see. But we're definitely going to be nerding out.
Or Trump says something stupid.
Yeah, well, that's
like, let's face it. Our chances of having a non-political podcast are very low. Yeah.
But we're hoping for a complete nerd out session. We're going to have a nerdgasm.
May the Star Wars gods guide us to
have next week. May the Force guide us, you idiot.
Yeah, the Star Wars. What?
The midichlorian.
Nope.
No. Stop it.
Jar Jar Binks.
We're still in denial over that.
It's almost as bad as you.
Please take us out before I punch you in your throat.
Ah, you can find us, sir.
No.
No Gungan?
No.
Okay.
Stop it, both of you. I'll fire you both.
Okay, sorry. Let me catch myself here. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/currentlynerdy. Go on there, like our page, write in our wall, send us some DMs.
Got a DM.
Yeah. If you dress up for the Star Wars premiere, send us a cool picture.
Please do.
Of you in like your finest.
With the hashtag may the nerd be with you.
Yeah. In your finest nerd or Jedi or Sith attire, or if you want to go as a Gungan.
Don't. Or a stormtrooper.
Yeah, kill yourself if you go as a Gungan.
That's just rude.
I know.
It's horrible.
Fuck it. The Gungans deserve to die. Anyway.
Wow. You know, Jar Jar Binks may have been a Sith. Don't be saying that.
This guy's outright genocidal. Seriously. I just want to make babies that are beautiful.
Did you notice that we had the same reaction when Diz said the N-word than when he said midichlorians?
Yeah.
I'm just going to put that out there. Same thing.
It's just as bad. Star Wars equivalent of 200 years of slavery.
Yeah. Lando comes back and kicks your ass.
We should definitely talk about race in Star Wars.
Okay. Let me continue. We're on Twitter, @currentlynerdy on Twitter. Hashtag made a nerd be with you, with your pictures of your Star Wars gear. Hashtag a tool for a fucked up society.
Flawed tool for a fucked up society.
Yeah. Flawed tool for a fucked up society.
Long ass hashtag.
Put a four rather than an F-O-R.
Yeah.
No, I thought it was going to be may the nerd be with you.
Yeah, may the nerd be with you.
Or you could use a fucked up tool for...
Yeah, don't do that with your Star Wars picture, though. Like, do it with the Star Wars
thing. We'll check both hashtags.
Yeah, we'll check both hashtags. We're on Instagram, @currentlynerdy on Instagram. Make sure you like our pictures, follow our page, make your friends follow us. We're on the Tumblr, currentlynerdy.tumblr.com. Go on there, reblog, repost, write notes, all that good Tumblr shit. YouTube, Currently Nerdy on YouTube. Search for us there. We're fucking lacking on that. We need to post some videos on there. Catch us on iTunes. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes. 5 stars, bitches. Give it to us. And if your friends don't like iTunes, have them listen to us at currentlynerdy.com. Great way to stream our page. And if you want to get a hold of us individually, you can. V, let them know how to get a hold of you.
Of course, you can find me on my website at thesandwichslayer.com. You can also find me on Twitter and Instagram at vtran214. That's VYTRAN 214. Ali?
You can catch me on my website, alialomi.com, or on Twitter at AAOLMI. I'll probably put up a blog post. I haven't blogged in a while because I've been busy writing articles, but I'm probably going to blog a little bit about the foreign policy of the Democrats and the Republicans, just to give you a little snapshot of do these people know anything about the Middle East or not. Diz, what about you?
You can find me everywhere on the world wide webs at Dizbulla, D-I-Z-B-U-L-L-H.
I have an emergency question before we close.
What?
Who's DJ Khaled?
Ah, he's the greatest Snapchat.
Why is this guy? Why do I keep hearing him referenced everywhere?
Because you don't have a Snapchat and you don't know the keys to success. You don't know the keys to success. Keys to success: cocoa butter, water.
Is okay? Is DJ Khaled like an ironic thing? Like people like him ironically, or is he like a?
No.
First of all, when is he a DJ?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's also a producer. He makes some okay tracks.
So is he famous for his music?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But people like him ironically, or people actually like
him? No, people actually like him. Because
people talk about, like, oh, my DJ Khaled is the coolest man ever. He's brilliant.
Snapchat, he's the best. Because
you just mentioned cocoa butter, and I immediately went, this has got to be ironic.
Today, he said, what are we eating for breakfast? They don't want to see you succeed because they don't want to see you eating breakfast.
See, okay, you're being ironic. It's an ironic thing.
And then he said the
key. No one finds that the key to success is
hammocks, because that's where you meditate. And then the other day, he got lost at sea, and he Snapchatted the whole thing. He was jet skiing in the middle of the night, during a night, and he got lost, and he Snapchatted the whole thing. Hey, if any of y'all know Zay, tell him to call me, because I'm lost. Hey, key to success, don't jet ski at night. Not only is it illegal, it's dangerous.
Did they find him?
He got home, finally. He's like, I'm blessed. Make sure, you know, count your blessings. I made it home.
So it is an ironic thing. No one thinks that shit's...
Fucking like Will Smith's kid, Jaden Smith.
Yeah, he's like
he does that weird tweet like how mirrors don't exist because eyes don't exist type shit. He actually tweeted that.
Hi everyone here, Girly Nerdy. Thank you for tuning in, and remember, stay smart, sexy nerds.
You're loyal. You're beautiful.
I appreciate that.
And we love you, DJ Khaled.